Blog Talk Radio.
Brian Fouts, and we're excited to be back here on Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And welcome. This is part of our new weekly evening show for Monday nights. We're going to be here each week starting at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's in the Midwest, you see. And for those of you in the listening area, Leah and I are with Hazak Ministries, and our ministry was started with the vision to bring hope, healing, and encouragement to those who are hurting, lost, or are hopeless.
The word Hazak is a Hebrew word. It means to make or be strong, to strengthen, to sustain, to support, and to encourage. We hope that you, our listeners, will be encouraged with our message this evening.
And if you've missed some of our previous radio programs, you can always go out to Reaching Out Radio, and you can get on the Internet, and that address is www.blogtalkradio.com. That's blog, B-L-O-G, blogtalkradio.com. All you got to do is go up in the little icon there and type in Brian and Leah Fouts, and you'll find where it says Be Encouraged with Brian and Leah Fouts, and there you can find a list of all of our previous shows, and you can listen to them free on demand.
Well, Ad, and we also want to let you know that today our sister Montel will not be on the air with us. So if you would like to contact us, you can send us an email with your questions and or comments to Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at HazakMinistries.com. That email address again is Brian at Hazak, H-A-Z-A-K, Ministries.com.
You bet, and that way if you do send us an email, you might hear a little ding in the background. That'll just be my computer saying, hey, check your email. So, Leah, thanks, and so why don't we get started?
Okay, before we start, I'd like to open the program with a word of prayer. Father, we just lift up our sister Montel to you tonight. She's not feeling well, and Lord, I pray that you will touch her body and you will heal her. Father, be with us as we share what you've given us to share with these people that are listening in. Father, I thank you for this radio program. I thank you for the people that listen faithfully, and even the new ones, too. We pray that they will become faithful listeners, too. Father, we give this all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, greetings from the hill out here in New Ulm, Texas.
Good evening, y'all.
And before we get started, Lee and I just want to share with you just a couple of important reminders with regards to our topic and our discussion this evening.
Our hope and prayer is that this show would be informational, educational, and should provide you, the listeners, with some great ideas to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. So, Brian, let's get started.
Well, it would be back in 1888 that the first demonstration of a recording on a flat disc was demonstrated by a person by the name of Emil Berliner. He wasn't a headliner, he was a Berliner. And this was the development of the gramophone. It was the recording and reproduction of sound by means of a disc record. And now you know how records came into existence.
Ah. And in 1946, the Irving Berlin musical, Annie, Get Your Gun, opened at New York's Imperial Theater for the first of, get this, 1,147 performances.
Yeehaw, and it was on this date back in 1964 that the country billboards lit up with the screen when Buck Owens released his number one single, My Heart Skips a Beat.
Oh, my. Well, Brian, so what do you have for us today in Jewish history?
Well, today, back in 1816, it was the birth of Adam Gimbel.
Well, who in the world is Adam Gimbel?
Well, he was a native of Bavaria who came to the United States back in 1834, and he parlayed a trading post that he opened up in Vincennes, Indiana.
Ah, oh, so that's who he was. So he opened a trading post. That's it?
Well, not exactly. You see, his store would later grow and get bigger and bigger, and it would turn into a set of chain stores. And the name of these chain stores? None other than the famous rivalry of Macy's department stores. Their name was Gimbel's Department Stores.
I remember hearing about them. And in 1828, in Frankfurt, Germany, Baron Karl Mayer von Rothschild of Naples and Adelaide Hertz gave birth to Wilhelm Karl von Rothschild. He would become the head of the Frankfurt branch of the Rothschild banking empire.
Wow. I wonder if she became the owner of Hertz Car Rentals. Well, you did very well on those names, dear. That was a mouthful. And back in 1948, Israel issued something really cool. They issued the very first postage stamp for their country. And back here in our World History Department, it would be in the year of 955 that Albert II, the son of Octavianus.
Yeah.
What a name, Octavianus. Well, he'd be elected the Pope.
Okay, well, here's something interesting. It would be in 1770 that Marie Antoinette, at the age of 14, would marry the future King Louis the 16th of France. And by the way, King Louis was only 15 years old.
Wow, got that, only 15. Boy, that you'd be in trouble if you did that out here. Hey, and so back in 1866, back in the U.S. history, we find that the U.S. Congress would authorize the very first five-cent piece to be minted for the rest of the country.
Well, was that the Indian head nickel?
Well, actually, no, dear. Oh. You see, the front of the new five-cent coin featured a shield with two olive wreaths above and a Maltese-style cross above, and the motto, In God We Trust, which started in 1864 on the two-cent coin, appeared atop of the shield.
Ah, well, turning to my great state of Texas, today in 1888, the capital of Texas was dedicated, and that capital was, and still is, Austin, Texas.
Well, yeehaw. And back in 1946, Jack Mullen showed the world something unique. He came up with the first magnetic tape recorder.
So, wow, who knew? So, I assume this is how cassettes and 8-tracks got started.
Well, I guess so.
Oh.
So, Leah, what do you have for us in women's history for tonight?
In 1975, Japanese climber Junko Tave became the first woman to reach the summit of, are you ready for this, Mount Everest.
Wow. Boy, the women were really climbing to new heights back then, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. And here was something pretty cool. In 1991, Queen Elizabeth II became the first British monarch to address our U.S. Congress.
Now, that was very interesting. That's a great piece of history.
Okay, you're giggling and smiling over there. It must be time for a weird history update.
Well, today, in the glorious year of 1914, a brand new association was formed in none other than Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay, so what was it?
Why, it was called the AHPA.
The what?
The AHPA. That's the American Horseshoe Pitchers Association.
Oh, brother.
And speaking of O's, it would be in 1965 that the Campbell Soup Company, under the name of the Franco-American brand, had just spent a year-long internal study of the appropriate shape for a brand new pasta dish that people could eat without ever making a mess.
You're kidding, right?
Nope. And today, SpaghettiOs were sold for the very first time.
Oh, my.
And then this, in 1866, there was a man by the name of Charles Elmer Hires. And he was very active in the temperance movement. And do you know what? He developed something extremely unique that was an alternative to alcohol.
Okay. Well, this ought to be good. What was it?
Well, Charles Hires invented what would now become known as Hires Root Beer.
Oh. Well, with that, finally, it's time for our sports update.
Take me out to the ball game. No, wait, it's 1939, and the Philadelphia Athletics and the Cleveland Indians are meeting at the Scheib Park in Philadelphia. But wait! It's late. The sun's gone down. No, wait, it can't be. But yes, yes, look up in the sky. It's true, it's true. Tonight would be the very first time that a baseball game would be played under the lights in the American League.
Amazing. Where you find this stuff? And this was pretty cool. It was on this day in 1985 that Michael Jordan was named the NBA Rookie of the Year. He would beat out the likes of Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon, Sam Perkins, and Sam Bowie to win the prestigious award.
Wow, that was pretty cool.
That's right. Jordan averaged an incredible 28.2 points and 6.5 rebounds and 5.9 assists and 2.4 steals per game that season. How about that?
Wow, now that's pretty impressive. And speaking of impressive, it would be in 1981 that Houston's Craig Reynolds of the Houston Astros would hit not one, not two, but three triples in a game, and he would go on to lead the league that year with 12 for the entire year.
Wow, who knew? I probably should have, since I'm from Houston. Oh, well, so, Brian, what's our study for today?
Well, this evening we're going to be continuing with our Bible study with part three of What's in a Name?
That's right.
And we're going to be sharing that when you are given a name, it will speak about your future and your calling. And those names can either be a blessing or a curse. And as we shared in the very first part, we said, would you name your boy named Sue?
Listeners, this is going to be educational and even fun.
And in last week's study, we shared that it was important to know what a name means because...
because it will tell you, it will tell the rest of the world who you are and that your name will be remembered as you live.
And it possibly when you die. And your name is very important because it can reflect the legacy that you will leave behind to your family, to your friends, and to the rest of the world.
And throughout our study, we'll be looking at several names from the Bible and elsewhere. So reach over there and grab your pen or pencil and some paper.
Yes, or grab your computer. Well, no, you don't have to grab your computer, but you can get your iPhone or your iPad. And while you're all taking notes, remember to write down any thoughts or comments and questions that you might have because when we get toward the end of the study here or during the study, you might want to just email us since Montel's
yes.
not going to be able to take your calls. So,
right. So
write them down.
Write them down and then give us a call.
Well, you got to email us tonight,
darling. Oh, email.
Darling.
I'm sorry. I said call. Hello. Email us.
That's right. And so you can email us. And, you know, I wish you could call. That would be great. But that's my favorite time anyway.
So. You're so funny. Anyway, Montel will not be here, just to remind you. And we want to take as much time with you as we can. So send those emails with your questions
That's
as
right.
we go.
And give them that address a couple of times here so that we can know how they can contact us.
Okay. The address is www.hazakministries.com. Hazak is spelled H-A-Z-A-K. Let me say it again. It's www.hazakministries.com. That's ministries is a plural.
And if you're going to email me, you got to send it to brian@hazakministries.com. Yeah, we're kind of having to adapt here tonight, but it's okay. It's okay. We'll be just fine. So anyway, moving right on. Last week we shared about the beginning, and we had learned, as carried over from the week before, that Adam was the first guy on the planet. Adam was the first man.
Okay. Listeners, please open your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, and I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. This is the book, the written record, the history of the generations of the descendants of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, not physically, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. He created them male and female and blessed them and named them mankind at the time they were created.
That they did. And we then covered some of Adam's children, such as Abel and then Cain. And then we went through and we did Cain and his children, and then we came to Seth. And then we went from Adam all the way to Noah, in which we found that there were 10 generations. Then last week we finished out the study with Abraham.
Abraham, yeah, but his original name was Abram, A-B-R-A-M, and the name means father is exalted.
That's right, but it was then later changed to Abraham, and that meaning is a father of multitude.
And we find this new name in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, and I'm reading again from the Amplified.
Okay.
No longer shall your name be Abram, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude, for I will make you the father of many nations.
That's good. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, and this is from the New American Standard, we learn more about Abraham and his family and his wife.
Well, this is before his name was changed, but it says, Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And then in verse 30, and it tells us that Sarai was barren. She had no child.
Now, Sarai's personal name means princess.
Oh, of course it does.
I know. Aren't all daughters a princess? And here's an interesting fact. She was not only the wife and half-sister of Abraham, because we learned that in Genesis 11:29, but it also that Sarah, who was at first was called Sarai, she also had the same father as Abraham.
Ew. She was his wife and a half-sister of Abraham? Oh, my.
Yes. Well, I know that sounds strange, but... The commentary shared this little fact. They said that back then, marriages with half-brothers weren't really that uncommon in time.
Yuck, that's more than strange. And more than I wanted to know.
There you go. Well, now the Lord told Abram that he would have a child. And when Sarai was told that she would have a child, she just laughed and laughed before the Lord. And Sarai would remain barren until the age of 90, when the Lord would give her a son.
But while she was waiting, her lack of faith got the better of her. She came up with her own plan.
Her own plan. Yeah. Isn't that just like all of us? Sometimes we ask the Lord for something in prayer, and we ask for help, and then we're kind of like, okay, God, where are you? Where are you? It's time. And we get impatient. And then we decide to help the Lord with his plans, because he needs help, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think we all have done that at one time or another.
So then we find out what Sarai's grand plan is in Genesis chapter 16.
This is Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. And I'm reading this one from the New King James Version. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai, thinking, said to Abram, "See, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai.
Well, I'm sure that Abram said, "Oh, well, who am I to argue with my wife?"
Right.
I don't know about you, but if this had been a movie taking place, I could just see this scene unfolding, and you could probably hear some wise person in the back in the audience, some man yelling, "Don't do it! It's a trap! It's a catch-22! Don't do it, man! You'll be sorry!"
Man. Okay, so moving on. Now, Sarah had a maidservant, a woman who was named Hagar.
And her name Hagar does not mean a pair of pants, people. But what it does mean is it means stranger, the personal servant of Sarah, who was given as a concubine to Abraham, and she would then later become the mother of Ishmael.
Literally, they had taken in a stranger. And Hagar conceived and had a son, much to the joy of Abram.
Yeah, old Abraham probably thought, "Hoy fey, look at here,
I've got me a son, someone to take my name and become my heir to my people, to my tribe.
But unfortunately, this was not God's plan, and this new son was named Ishmael, and his personal name means God hears. Thus, he was the son of Abraham by the Egyptian concubine Hagar.
But then we find out what type of son that this will be. We look in Genesis chapter 16, verses 11 and 12, that then the Lord informs Hagar just exactly what type of man that her son will become. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And he shall be a wild man, and his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren."
A wild man, huh? Well, this was really interesting. Over in the MacArthur commentary for verse 11, it reads like this: "With her son's name meaning God hears, Hagar the servant who had gone out into the wilderness crying to God could not forget how God had heard her cry of affliction." That was kind of neat to see, an answer to prayer for Hagar.
Ah, but if you think about that verse, ouch, the Lord knows how people just may very well turn out.
That's true.
And in Proverbs 19:21, it says that many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand.
And speaking of Ishmael, God did bless Ishmael with 12 sons, but they've been wild and fighting ever since.
And then when good old Sarah turned 90 years young, surprise, in Genesis 21, 5 and 6, we find this passage. "Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made laughter for me, and everyone who hears will laugh with me.'"
And with that, Isaac was born. His name means laughter. And he was the only son of Abraham by Sarah, and the patriarch, one of the patriarchs in the nation of Israel.
And from the Hebrew name Yitzchak, meaning that he will laugh or that he will rejoice. And this is derived from the name of Shizak, which means to laugh.
A stretch, wasn't it? The Old Testament also explains this meaning by recounting that Abraham laughed when God told him that his aged wife Sarah would become pregnant with Isaac.
Now, Isaac would grow up later and he would marry a woman by the name of Rebekah. And we learn about this in Genesis 25, verses 19 through 20.
I'm reading this in the New American Standard Bible. "Now, these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel the Aramean of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban the Aramean, to be his wife."
Now, Rebekah was the daughter of Bethuel, who was Abraham's nephew, and her personal name means cow.
Cow? Her name means cow? Okay. Well, now look, when I looked my name up, Leah, L-E-A-H, it told me that my name means weary or wild cow. So see, it's not that unusual.
it's not. Okay, so, you see, he really did marry a cow, though.
Oh, good.
The name actually, Rebekah, literally means tied up, but more specific and in a more friendly term, it actually means the word secured.
Oh, good.
Now, Isaac married Rebekah, and she would give him, twin sons, or paternal twins. So, Leah, why don't you read this part for us in Genesis 25, verses 24 through 26, please?
Thanks, Brian. Okay, folks, let's look in our Bibles to Genesis 25, verses 24 to 26. I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. "When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out reddish all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau, which means hairy.
So they gave him the nickname of Harry?
I'm not talking to you. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand had grasped Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, which means one who grabs by the heel, or supplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them.
Now, Esau's name, this is kind of interesting. It personally, it's an unknown name.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hebrew name of Esau means hairy or ruffed. And it also means, of course, hairy or famous bearer.
Okay. Well, Dr. Constable's notes share this. Hairiness seems to have been a mark of incivility in the ancient world, indicative of an animal-like nature.
And let's take a look at his twin brother, Jacob. Now, when he was born, they said that he was holding his brother Esau's heel, and his name is explained as meaning the holder of the heel or supplanter.
The Hebrew dictionary shares this little tidbit. The verb abak means to follow at the heel, to assail, to circumvent, and to supplant.
And so at the birth, because Jacob was grasping at Esau's heel, he would then get the nickname of, ready for this, heel holder. And that name heel holder actually means one who outwits by trickery.
What a nickname, old heel holder himself.
And just like in a wrestling match, a person can actually cheat by throwing their opponent by grasping their heel.
Aha, trickery. Now, I know some of you are wondering, Jacob's name means heel holder, ew, but there's some history that makes that name important.
That's right. So after 20 years of waiting and praying for to God, God would then give Rebekah children. Now, which of these two children do you think that God blessed?
Well, I have here it says, and God intervened to announce his foreordained choice. This is from Genesis 25, verse 23 in the Amplified Version. The Lord said to her, the founders of two nations are in your womb, and the separation of two nations has begun in your body. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.
Now, Jacob's reaction to his election over Esau was quite different than from Isaac's reaction to God's choice of him as Abraham's heir.
Hmm.
Because later, Esau would end up selling out his own inheritance for a bowl of red meat and sauce.
That's true, all because of the trickery by Jacob and his mother.
That's right. Yeah, he sold out for some red beans and Tostitos and hot sauce. All right, and so later Jacob would then be tricked later in life.
And we spoke about Jacob having a good name in history. In the Old Testament, Jacob, who would later be called Israel, not only was the son of Isaac and Rebekah, but he would become the father of the 12 founders of the 12 tribes of Israel.
And in case you were wondering, Dr. Constable gave a great answer on why God chose Jacob. And this is what he had to say.
Okay.
He said, Scripture does not give the reason why God chose Jacob over Esau. What we do know is that his choice did not rest on the superior merit of Jacob, but on the sovereign prerogative of Yahweh. God just did it because that's what he wanted to do.
That is interesting. God is always in control.
And now we go on to our next name. It's special.
Okay, you're really smiling over there.
Yes, dear. This next name is all about you.
Oh, my. Must be my name. Great.
Oh, yes, oh, queen. It's time to talk about Leah. So, with that, let's turn to Genesis 29:16.
I'll be reading it from the Amplified Bible. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel.
And just to keep you up to date on the family, Laban's father, Bethuel, was the son of Nahor, who was Abraham's older brother.
Okay. In addition, Laban was thrice, that means three ways, related by marriage to Abraham's family. First, his sister Rebekah married Isaac. Second, his daughter Leah married Jacob. And third, Rachel also married Jacob.
Wow. This is like a TV series. This must have been the original cast for All in the Family. And boy, was there drama.
Oh, now that was good, Faust.
Now, thus Laban and Abraham's great-nephew, Isaac's cousin and brother-in-law, boy, that's a mouthful, and Jacob's uncle and father-in-law, mm-hmm. and remember, his name meant white or moon god.
Okay, now that was weird.
So, Leah is one of the four archmothers of Israel, and her personal name means, I didn't make this up, dear, it means wild cow or gazelle.
I know, that's the part I never liked knowing about. Or they would also call her weak-eyed.
I'm sorry, dear. But, hey, it does get better, though. Now, from the BDB Theological Dictionary, we find that that verb, la'ah or le'ah, means to be weary or grieved. It means to be offended. It also means to be impatient and or slow.
Oh, great. Now I'm called slow.
No, you're not slow. Maybe a bit impatient from sometimes.
I'll give you that.
Okay, but the name also implied that there was toil and hardship that took place in her life.
Now, Leah was the older daughter of Laban and became Jacob's first wife. This was in Genesis 29, verse 16. Now, Jacob had asked for the younger daughter's hand first. That was Rachel, but was tricked into marrying Leah. Thus, her father Laban preserved the ancient Near Eastern tradition of the elder child marrying first.
And as I'd mentioned earlier, the trickery by Jacob to get Esau's inheritance came back to bite him later, because when their father was dying, Jacob went in and got a double blessing from his father, but he got a double curse later when he had to serve Laban twice for two women.
That's true. Leah became Jacob's first wife through a trick, and that was what happened.
And, yes, the old Texas two-step took place. They got Jacob drunk and then switched brides on him. But there's a great piece of history here that Leah, even though that she was not the first one, she would end up giving Jacob eight sons and one daughter. And from one of those sons came Judah, who was in the line of David that went to Jesus.
Ah, and just a note of consolation. When Leah died, she was buried in the family grave together with Jacob, Isaac, and Rebekah, Abraham, and Sarah, while Rachel was buried somewhere by the way to Ephrath, a.k.a., pardon me, also known as Bethlehem. And then we find those verses in Genesis chapter 35, verse 19, and chapter 49, verses 30 to 31.
Now, speaking of Rachel, her name means you.
Ew.
No, not you.
Oh, so she was the younger daughter of Laban, the second wife and cousin of Jacob, and the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. In flight from his brother Esau, Jacob met her when Rachel brought the sheep to water. She immediately became the object of his attention.
And here is some interesting history on the name of Rachel. There's two Old Testament passages outside of Genesis that name Rachel. First, one of them is mentioned in Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. And there, she's called as one who builds up the houses of Israel.
And secondly, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, it refers to her weeping over children being taken in exile.
And then later in Matthew, they cite Jeremiah 2:18 with the references of a weeping that takes place in connection with Herod's order to kill all of the male children under the age of two.
Boy, it's been pretty fun learning about these names. It's really neat stuff. So, Brian, I thought it'd be nice to give Brian and I thought we'd let you have a short break. Stretch your legs, folks. Get a cup of coffee or a snack and come back for the rest of our study.
You bet. So while we're doing that, just kind of get up. We're going to give you a little music to listen to, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes here to finish up our study. welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the music there. We had a chance to get out and stretch your legs. I hope you got up and got you a snack or a cup of coffee or a drink or some tea. I did.
So who's next on our list?
Well, we're going to kind of fast forward a little bit up to Judah.
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 29, verse 35 in the Amplified Version is where I'm reading. Again, she conceived and gave birth to a fourth son. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then, for a time, she stopped bearing children.
Now, his name is actually a tribal and a territorial name. And this was pretty cool. The name of Judah means praise Yahweh.
That is really cool.
Now, the Bible speaks more about the tribe of Judah than any of the other single tribes of Israel.
And sadly, when his brothers rebelled against Joseph and wanted to kill him, Judah encouraged his brothers to sell Joseph rather than leave him to die. And then he later stood up to Joseph when Benjamin's safety was at stake.
That's right. And now we head on down the line to Salmon.
Why Salmon?
Well, he was a fish.
No.
Oh, no. Well, you see, Salmon had an important place in Jewish history. You see, he would end up marrying a woman by the name of Rahab.
Yeah.
And he would then become the father of a man by the name of Boaz.
So, what did Salmon, the name, mean? Fish?
No. But this is actually interesting. His name means rapper.
Is that like a musician?
No, Leah, he was not a musician.
Yeah.
It literally means a covering or a wrapper or a coat. And it also meant like a robe or an outer covering of some kind. And they also called it a mantle.
Kind of like the mantle of Elijah.
That's right. He had a mantle or a coat. Exactly. And Salmon was he was also from the tribe of Judah.
So was he the guy that married Rahab?
Yes, he did. And so with that, Leah, why don't you share some more about the information of this here woman called Rahab, the harlot?
Well, this was interesting. The first part of Rahab's name is the word Ra. This was the name of an Egyptian god.
Ra.
Yeah. And as an Amorite, Rahab had belonged to an idolatrous group of people. That meant that they worshipped all kinds of idols. And as far as the rest of her name, it also means insolence, fierceness, or broad, or spaciousness.
So she was actually one of the bad girls in the Bible.
Yes, she was. But one of the commentaries said that this may have been for only a couple of seasons, and her name actually means broad.
So I guess we know where that name broad came from. That's what guys used to call women years ago.
Oh, man. Anyway, that is very possible. So, Rahab was a harlot in the city of Jericho. And she would be the one who, in the book of Joshua, would hide the two Hebrew spies that Joshua sent to determine the strength of the city.
That's right. So now I want to talk a little bit about Boaz.
Okay.
And his name means lively, but it also means fleetness and quickness. And he is actually the hero of the book of Ruth, and he was a wealthy relative of Naomi's husband.
And Boaz would marry a woman named Ruth.
And here is something that's interesting. The name Boaz was also the name of a pillar that was in the left or the north of Solomon's temple. And it was later carried off to Babylon when the temple was destroyed.
Well, speaking of Ruth, in Hebrew, the meaning of the name Ruth is companion, friend, and vision of beauty.
Oh, that's a beautiful name.
And here's something else of importance. The book of Ruth is one of the five megaloths, or scrolls, as they are called, that are read for Jewish festivals. And the book of Ruth is read at the Festival of Weeks.
And that Feast of the Weeks is actually called Shavuot.
Ah, Brian, you might share with our listeners what that Feast of the Weeks is all about.
Well, that's a great idea. The Feast of the Weeks in the Hebrew is the word Shavuot. But it also is correct to say Shavuos. And the word Shavuot means weeks.
And the Greek word for this holiday, get this, is Pentecost, which means 50th.
Thanks, Leah. Now, Shavuot occurs 50 days or 7 weeks after Passover. And this feast is actually considered a harvest celebration, commemorating God's provision for and his sustenance for all of his people.
That is pretty cool when you think about it.
And here's something that I thought that the women would like to know. You see, they say that Boaz and Ruth are possibly the most delightful couple in the Bible.
Oh, that was very sweet. A love story.
And the Jones Dictionary of the Old Testament proper names notes this somewhat melancholically.
Yeah.
It says that by obligations of the Levitical law, Boaz became Ruth's second husband. And there is a great sweetness in the character of Boaz and also of Ruth.
So why don't we read a little of their story? This is from Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 in the Amplified Bible.
And so it says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son.
And then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer or grandson as heir today. And may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you one who restores life and sustains your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. And thus, the line of David would begin here.
And then we continue with this, starting in verse 16. Then Naomi took the child and placed him in her lap, and she became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him his name, saying, a son or grandson has been born to Naomi. And they named him Obed, which means worshiper.
Wow.
And he is the father of Jesse, who becomes the father of David, who is the ancestor of Jesus Christ.
Wow, isn't that neat? What a neat story.
And we've got lots more to share with you.
But you will have to tune in next Monday for part 4 of What's in a Name.
And then we're going to learn some more about how a name that's given to you will speak of your future and of your calling. And we're going to be sharing more about Adam's other children and more down the line.
Yeah, this is going to be another fun and educational study from God's Word. We know that you'll be blessed and encouraged.
That's right. And so with that, we just want to tell you that it's been really exciting to be able to be on the program with you this evening. And again, if you've got any questions, you can still send us an email to Brian@HazakMinistries.com. That's Brian@HazakMinistries.com. And we would love to hear from you. We'd love to have your comments, any thoughts or questions that you have that maybe we couldn't get to tonight. And we would love to respond. Again, that email address is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at Hazak Ministries. That's H-A-Z-A-K, Hazak Ministries. And with that, I'm Brian Fouts.
And I'm Leah Fouts.
And we are with Hazak Ministries, an encouragement ministry out here on the hill in New Ulm, Texas.
Just as a reminder, folks, we've written a book on how we got into our journey into ministry. It's called From Misery to Ministry, A Walk of Faith Through the Loss of a Loved One. It's a wonderful book that brings hope, healing, and encouragement to those who've lost a loved one. It's easy to read, and it will make an impact in your life. The book is available in both a paperback and a special edition hardbound copy as well. We even have an audio book.
Ooh, an audio book.
And yes, Brian and I recorded the audio book. You can learn more on how to order this book by visiting our website, which is www.HazakMinistries.com. That website address again is www.HazakMinistries.com.
Oh, and isn't there something else that they should know?
Oh, yeah. And when you order the books from our website, Brian and I will personally sign your book or books. We ship the books first class so that you have them in 2 to 3 days. And if you buy one for a friend, we will ship to directly to their address from here. They make good gifts.
Did you say they made great gifts?
Yes, I think they make great gifts.
They do. And it's a reminder, we've just finished writing our second book, and it's called Steps of Faith.
The book is currently in production at Tate Publishing in Oklahoma. We'll keep you updated on the progress and let you know when the book will be available. It's a real good book.
You betcha. And so with that, Leah, thank you. And if you'd like to invite either Leah or myself to come to speak at your church, your men's group, your women's group, maybe a special event, we would love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach us on our mobile number at 832-878-8043. That mobile number again is 832-878-8043. And you can also text us there. Or if you'd like and you need to try to get hold of us quicker, you can always reach us on our handy-dandy landline out here on the hill. That number is 979-357-2215. That number again is 979-357-2215. And Lee and I also want to just thank you, the listeners of Reaching Out Radio, for tuning in this evening. And for all of you who support Blog Talk Radio, that you support the ministries, especially the Montel Fields Family Ministries, and for those that you partner with us as well. It's been an honor for us to be a featured guest host here with Evangelist Montel Fields on Reaching Out Radio,
where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
And thank you again, and remember,
be strong
and
be chazak.